Sci-Fi Party Line. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hey, hey. And I also have with me Eric.
Hello. Hello.
Oh, that is spirited for Eric.
I'm telling you, he is awake. He is awake.
Today we are going to talk about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter.
47 zombies ago.
And we're going to talk about Falling Skies. So, let's jump right into it. Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter. I got to tell you, when I first heard the title of this movie, I giggled because it amused me greatly. I mean, anytime you want to throw in a president and then kind of switch him up, kind of... what's the Nicolas Cage movie, National Treasure?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you want to make American history a little bit more exciting and throw some spice on it. Let's make one of our presidents a vampire hunter. I enjoyed that.
Awesome.
I enjoyed the idea. Yeah. And so for that alone, I wanted to see this because, you know, any way to make American history a little bit more exciting with some mythic, you know, something or another, I find... awesome. So what made you guys want to see this?
Well, I actually knew about it before it was a movie. I knew about it when it was just a book, and I was aware of it. It was like on my reading list to eventually get to one day. And then I heard it was going to be a movie, and I was surprised. But I held my reservations until I saw like the initial trailer, and I thought, all right, it's good enough for me. And then the book has like really positive reviews, much more so than I think than the movie. And so, you know, I got a little bit scared because Rotten Tomatoes was looking low. And for some reason, Kat chided me for going with Rotten Tomatoes. But I do all the time, though, like for everything.
I don't listen to critics at all. So you could have said any critic website. And I would be like, critics? Rah!
I don't know.
Like, except us, because we're your definitive critics.
Well, because I mean, we're nicer. Critics just hate everything. It's like,
yeah,
they
but
hate
that's
everything.
Not true. It I mean, they all like love. They all loved Avengers, and
well,
they
I
mostly
mean,
loved Prometheus.
My grandmother likes Avengers. I mean, come on.
Well, and the other thing is, we're not nicer, really. No, we're not. So yeah, you got to be. You know,
I'm nicer. I'm a kinder, gentler critic. Okay. Wow, thanks for laughing at that. Oh, Carl, what made you want to see this? Like, why did you want to go?
Sometimes an idea is so preposterous when they put forth that I'm just curious. When they come up with something so crazy, I'm like, you know, I just got to see. I got to see what they're going to try to pull with this. So if you're going to come up with a crazy idea, because my buddy... you know, he and I went to the movies. He was like, I don't know about this. I am not enthusiastic about this film. I had to pay for his ticket. He's like, I don't know. And I said, look, if you're going to put forth a really, really preposterous idea, you've got to be able to sell it. I mean, you know, a time machine, it's also a telephone booth. You got to nail that in order for you to be able to pull that off as a film. So when I saw this coming, I was like, all right, I'm going to give it a shot. I have faith in this. And, you know, from the previews, the axe work looked pretty good. So I was with it. I was looking forward to it.
Okay. So let's go into what we actually thought. Since you were talking, Carl, go ahead.
Oh, man, I like to follow
Eric. Okay, I can go. Oh, it doesn't matter. Well, since you talk about the axe play, I enjoyed the axe. I did not think axes, I mean, you know, axes, battle axes are cool because you see, like, the, I can't ever think of what I'm going to say. The guy from Lord of the Rings, the troll. I mean,
Gimli.
Dwarf, I'm sorry. Troll. Oh, smack. Anyway, so he made it look cool. Of course, like when I saw the axe, Carl, just go with me on this. I thought about Thor's hammer and how, like, if some people don't have, you know, a double gun barrel or just a gun or whatever, they're going to have a one-handed weapon. I just think that's so cool that they're using one-handed weapons now. So I really liked the axe.
Gotcha.
Yeah, so I thought it was pretty cool because it's like long pole. I don't know. Is that kung fu or karate or something? I don't know. You don't? Do you know? Okay, whatever. So it was like the long pole when you see in your kung fu flicks. So I just really enjoyed that guy. Also, the guy himself, Abraham Lincoln, looks like a young Liam Neeson to me.
Ladies and gentlemen, I managed to hold it off. I managed to hold it in up until this moment. But I would like to point out to all of our listeners how Kat has managed to work in four and Liam Neeson in a minute and 25 seconds. I'm just saying. I mean, you know, it's like playing bingo with her. You know, she's like, okay, we're just waiting for Thor. Waiting for Thor.
Yeah, I threw the Thor in on purpose. Liam Neeson, he looked like a young Liam Neeson. That was so weird to me. Like,
I must give you, because, you know, you managed to work in Liam and Thor in every podcast. But this time, my dear, you were absolutely, it was uncanny. Looking at him, he was like, the Tron Legacy version of Liam Neeson.
It's
like,
it was
just the right light. You're like, wow, he looks so real. You know, he really did. That no joke about that.
That's exactly the way I could describe this guy.
I'll give it to you, no doubt.
Yes.
I picked that up from the trailer that he looked like Liam Neeson, which I thought might have been one of the reasons you wanted to see it initially.
Mm-hmm, I had a feeling.
No, that wasn't it, because I didn't really see him. I was like, that guy looks weird. I don't want to see that. And then, I mean, just the title, Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, that's just so weird. You have to see that. And I didn't see the axe in the commercials or the trailers.
What?
So I didn't know. I didn't see him swinging.
I saw his nose, like, in the profile.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, that's weird looking. I hope this guy isn't a dog, you know. But then...
it's Abe Lincoln. You knew what he was going to look like.
But I will say, female vamp Erin Wasson, whatever her name is, she kept making me think I was seeing what's her name?
Sarah Connor Chronicles, lady from
No. Sorry. Oh my god. How did I just blank on her name?
What has she been in?
What's her name? Transformers.
Megan Fox?
No, the other one.
For some reason, Meg Ryan's name was like in the front of my lobe, and I couldn't get Meg Ryan out of there. Yes, Megan Fox. Sorry.
Really? Wait, what? She reminds you of Megan Fox.
She did. Like, I was like, wait, Megan Fox? And like, no, it's not Megan Fox. But every time it would like the new another one close up on her face. Fox. Look up Erin Wasson, and she looks like a Megan Fox with her face pulled back a little bit, but
what are we talking about, really?
Well, I guess the first picture that comes up on IMDb of her, but she had this weird. She looked like Megan Fox, especially Megan Fox in that movie of her that nobody saw, not Jonah Hex, the other one, the one where she was a vampire that they didn't call a vampire.
Jennifer's Body.
Yes. Yes. Yes, there was times when, especially how Megan Fox looks in that movie, this vamp, she looked a lot like her as well. But
maybe a little Sarah Jessica mixed in. I'll give you that. But anyway.
So I kind of stumble over why I like this movie, and I'll probably get back into it. Come on, somebody else give me something, because I'm...
No, there's plenty more.
Okay, we'll get into it. Go.
Do it.
All right.
I'm so professional. So,
okay. Nice.
Early. Yeah, I know,
isn't it? So I'm watching this and I'm wondering, okay, so, you know, what kind of, obviously this universe has some kind of rules. I mean where, you know, the movie takes place, and I guess, okay, convenient, okay, these vampires can live in the daylight, all right, whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that was a surprise.
But the first time where, like, my spidey sense got peaked, or I was just, when he was, before the training montage, and he was telling him to chop the tree,
mm-hmm.
and do it in one chop, and then so right there they're already established some strange physics in this world, which is okay. I'm like, whatever. But then it really culminates later when we get to the big horse stampede.
Oh my god, that was glorious!
It was cool, but it was. Well, outrageous.
I know. But that's outrageous.
Okay, listen. We're gonna have to let go.
Where have you ever seen that before? You haven't, have you?
That's what I like about it.
A lot of these haven't seen, but that's because they wouldn't probably happen unless it was a cartoon. So it falls into that kind of.
I would want to slap somebody with a horse.
I forgot. That was awesome. Threw a horse at a guy. That is awesome. Yes. I mean, I was thinking about like the Frogger dance, you know, when they were going from horseback to horseback and they were chasing. That was cool. I forgot he just like bent the horse's leg up and threw it at a guy. That was awesome.
Yeah, they were using horse as a weapon. I enjoyed that. Like, it reminded me of the A-Team when you saw the, I guess, the storage container things and how that all collapsed on each other and it just went crazy. When I saw that, I was like, wow, I've never seen that before. Never thought about it. And then this horse thing, I never thought, you know, about horse stampede before and like playing on horses, you know, smacking people around with horses. And I don't know. I really enjoyed it. Yeah, it looked a little fake, but I enjoyed it.
I gave him a break. I agree. Sometimes the effects were a little on the edge there. Not in terms of believability. I've given up on that part. I just mean, you know, sometimes just the execution was a little off for some reason. But no, it was so unique and so much fun and so different. I was surprised how much I enjoyed this movie.
The way I justified it for myself, because if I didn't justify it, it would have been difficult to like the film. But the way I did justify it, it just started seeming like to me that the whole entire film was like a different mod for the Matrix.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these things,
it's a steampunk Matrix. Yeah.
Yes. All right. And like, I was like, okay, if we pretend like Henry's like Morpheus, then things it all makes sense because these are things you would see if you know someone you know. Change the Matrix programming, saying, you know, let's take it back 150 years. Like, this, it all becomes plausible, and let's just throw in vampires into the program. Because then all the action, like, totally made sense in a Matrix kind of world where Neo could, like, bend the rules. And then that was just my way to get through the whole movie. And somehow,
I am happy that you're here, Eric, because you see, you are a fine critiquer of story as well as, I guess, consistency and construction in stories. Now, that's something I'm always harping on. That's something that time after time when I watch a movie, it irks me. You're building a space, be consistent. You're taking it someplace new, don't change up the rules. One shocking thing about Abraham Lincoln, Vampire Hunter, as preposterous, as utterly insane as the concept and the story was, step by step, everything held together in this movie. I mean, just story-wise, things fit together in a way that made sense, if you could believe it or not. I got a little foreshadowing. I could sense some of the stuff that was coming. It wasn't so obvious and heavy-handed. But just from piece to piece, the way that the writers wove in the elements of history and preposterousness was so seamless. I mean, it really...
I don't know. I was a little bothered by the Civil War. And, well, what? We got to free the slaves because what it means is that the vampires won't have food. And we'll get to the and because they're the Confederacy and blah. And I was like, okay, I'm just gonna let that go because what?
Come on, you know, I think it should be freedom for everybody during the Civil War, and you know, anything that gets the slaves free, I'm down.
Yeah,
with
no, 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 I'm not saying that I'm not down with it, but it just seems like these vampires are getting too rough, and so in order to defeat them, let's free the slaves, like. Okay, yeah. I'm happy about it, but okay, that didn't make sense. But right, let's go with it. You're gonna smack a guy with a horse. I'm gonna listen to you.
Yeah.
So pay attention. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, okay. So what did you think, Eric? What did you think of the story? Just like the construction of the story.
Oh yeah. We cut him off. Sorry.
No. I mean, no. It was good enough. It was good enough, and it was cool because you know, all those things were, you know, somewhat rooted in fact, like his whole life, like they, you know, it followed like the course pretty well, and kept that fairly consistent. I didn't realize that Mary Elizabeth Winstead was going to be in the movie at all.
Yeah.
And she's, she's one who brings me to theater, and I had no idea she was going to be in it. And so okay. when I realized, I recognized her right away, and oh my goodness, wow. So that. That kind of helped the whole movie.
You got to think of Mrs. Lincoln. Is that what you're telling me?
she was just so boring looking to me, so I never...
She was boring looking, but it was still her. And it was a bit interesting. Well, God, I was like... I thought it might take up, you know, a fourth of the movie, but it only took up maybe a 20th. Like, how long it took him to get her from Wash.
Yep. Yep. I mean, really.
Yeah, Wash was in this.
That was quick. That was quick for Wash. Yeah, I was hoping to see more of him, actually, in here. He just kind of...
And then another person had me a little bit confused, a character, was Speed, because I thought for sure Speed had betrayed Abraham earlier, before they went to the plantation.
Mm-hmm,
because
mm-hmm.
It looked to me like Speed was the one who tipped off the vampires and that, what's his name, got caught. And I thought that Speed was already, you know, dealing with the vampires at that point. But then he, like, came in and saved him at the plantation. So I was like, okay, maybe not. And then, again, it looks like he's selling him out again for the whole train situation.
Yeah.
That train had me scared because I'll start thinking about Priest.
Yeah, well, that's okay. They did it. It's so much more exciting. So much better than Priest. Even though there were kind of, like, you know, zombie things jumping on the outside of it. But that's all right. It's all right. Yeah, well...
Continue, Eric. I'm sorry. I just had to throw.
No. And so he just had me a little bit confused because I guess he never did go bad. Or, man, I guess it was part of the plan, even with the train situation. So that was just a little bit ambiguous to me because I couldn't figure out, you know, if the director was showing his hand or not. And I guess he wasn't. I guess I was reading into the Speed character more than was required. But still, on the crazy physics thing, I had forgotten, because I knew this before I saw the movie, but I had forgotten, and I realized again after the fact, that the director, Timur Bekmambetov,
wow,
who I think is a Russian or from the former Soviet bloc, but I'm actually familiar with, like, his previous work, and I should have remembered that it was his, because... If you're familiar with his other stuff, all his movies exist in that Matrix universe.
Oh.
Okay, is there anything we'd know? What's his other stuff?
Wanted with Angelina.
Wanted. Yes, he loves bullet time, doesn't he?
Yeah, Wanted, and I saw his two prior movies, Daywatch and Nightwatch.
Oh, I have been trying to see those.
Are they good?
Well, I've never seen them. I can't seem to find them anywhere. Yes. How were they? Were they any good?
Okay. Well, they're Russian language films, but that didn't really affect the movie or anything.
So you're telling me subtitle. You're saying a subtitle.
Yeah. And right. But I didn't even notice it at the time I watched them both. But they.
Wait, you speak Russian or were they speaking English?
No, speaking Russian, but they have the movies themselves don't have a look and feel of Underworld meets Matrix.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I mean it's very much like that. And the idea is there's supernatural beings, and there's like it's like Ghostbusters, but the Ghostbusters are underground. So like the public is unaware that all this is going on. And so there's ghosts running around, and there's people who are like Ghostbusters who keep them in check, but this is all in the DL, and it's just all kinds of madness, just like this. And these movies were made for nothing, but don't look like they were made for nothing.
Right.
But they're very reminiscent of Wanted and Abraham Lincoln, and it's just crazy, ridiculous action, and cars driving up sides of buildings, and just like complete madness, but it's all very consistent, at least for his portfolio.
Good. Now that totally makes sense because, yep, I've seen the previews, at least for which one's the one with the bus? Is that Night Watch? I think for Night Watch.
I can't remember which is which because right. As soon as one ends, the sequel picks up.
Picks up.
So it's almost like, yeah.
And I like the way it looked. And it's true for Vampire Hunter. This movie was really pretty.
It was.
I liked the way stuff looked. I liked, you know, each director, it's like they pick a color and they kind of, you know, use that as their canvas. Like if you think of James Cameron, he's got a distinctive blue. If you think about Bay, he's got a, you know, a burnt orange.
I was thinking orange.
And what's the guy's name that did the last Terminator movie? You know, the stuff he's got sort of a sandy gray.
What about M. Night?
M. Night.
Ah, got like a little turdy brown.
that's
But yeah, so but yeah, I mean, you could feel even, you know, daytime, nighttime, whatever. There was just a color. There was a hue to this movie that managed to go throughout the whole thing. It was really pretty. It really was pretty. I like the look of it. So, wow. Okay. Well, here's all right. So, overall, I really did enjoy this movie. I love things that are different. I love things that are a little bit quirky. This movie, it was really hard to know what the heck was going to happen next. So all of that was really, really great. A couple of the few criticisms that I had about the movie is, surprisingly, all of the battle scenes were about a third the length that they should have been. Right? They were too short. One of the scenes that I thought had the most potential for outrageous, you know, innovativeness, / carnage was the scene where the Confederate vampires are about to descend on the Union soldiers. They're on the line, and the Union soldiers fire. You know, they all fire, and then you just see all of the Confederate vampires drop their weapons and start to run. They start to run straight towards the Union soldiers. Now, the Civil War is, if you're going to be doing that in modern cinema, there is so much visually interesting and powerful that you can do with that kind of face-to-face, carnage, hands-on, you know, hands-on war, that by itself is amazing. You throw some vampires in on that scene, and expect, I was really expecting to see something, I don't know, just something bigger, certainly something longer in terms of, you know, how that scene played out. But no, it was just like that. It hinted at the violence, and then just, you know, folks just fell down.
Right. So you wanted it big and long. Like, I really think this was successful. I don't know. I like the way the vampires disappeared. And I didn't feel short to me. It just felt like it did its thing and we were off to the next thing. I mean, what more did you want?
Each time, with the exception of the train and the horse chase, each of the fight scenes felt a little short. Even busting in to rescue the guys from the antebellum home, you know, the car chase thing, you know, even that felt a little short because, I mean, think about it. He busts in there. You got vampires all around. You know, Abe and his buddy Will, you know, Will, they was holding Will hostage up in the house. They went in there. Abe, he took out about five vampires in, about 20 seconds. The vampire chick, which, who, by the way, and here's what I actually thought was kind of cool. If you're going to be a bullet time choreographed fight expert, make sure to have a buddy who throws in a chair in the middle of the move. Okay, so jump up and kick a guy. Have your buddy off screen, toss in a chair just to make sure you can get the whole jazz hands landing. You know, it was. I thought that was kind of fun.
Oh, that was great.
It's just, you know, so think about it. What happened? So she, you know, throws in the chair, sat on Abe, you know, it's like, oh, we're going to get you all your friends. Bam. Then the car comes in and they get away. You know, come on.
The movie was only an hour and 45 minutes. They crammed a lot into it.
The other thing is, proportionally with the story, because the story was so unique, and I'm not going to say they had to hold our hand through it. It's just, I think part of the reason why it was well-constructed, the story was well-constructed, is because it was so crazy, the stuff that was going on. They had to make sure that they weren't losing folks. So they managed to hold stuff together. But I felt that parts of this movie were slow. It was slow. It's hard to make an exciting film and an intelligent film. An intelligent film and an action film together, it's very, very rare that you can pull those two things off at the same time.
So you're saying this was an intelligent film?
It was shockingly smart. It was, I'm telling you, it was really smart.
It was on the edge of smart?
Well, but what I mean is, when you think, like I said, again, consistency is important to me, how they were able to mix in the history, and even the moments when he was becoming president. You know, the moments when he was up there speaking and, you know, he was addressing, it didn't feel corny. It somehow, you know, he just, only moments ago, his axe was a shotgun. But now he is addressing Congress out of it, and it still managed to hold together in a way that was not so terribly campy and insane. So it just I don't know. It just felt really good in the way that stuff. But the story, you know, I think they took a little long telling some of the story and building up some of that stuff. When you've got something as preposterous as Abe Lincoln as axe-wielding vampire hunter, I really want to see a little bit more of that carnage. I really want to see a little bit more of that. And, man, you know, if they made a sequel, that they ought to blow out a little bit more of the action.
But well, then we'd have to see him as old Abe, and I didn't like him when he got older. I liked him when he was the young Abe because he kicked more ass. No, I'm not saying an ageist. I'm just saying, like, he couldn't even do the axe thing when he was old because, like, he had arthritis or something.
No, he just was a little out of practice. But apparently, while riding on the top of a bird...
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
He did all right. Okay, here's another example. Come on now. Adam. Adam went down way too fast.
Who's Adam again?
That leader of the vampires.
Oh, okay, the mustache twirly guy. Okay.
See, this is what I mean. We've been waiting for the climactic moment where Abe and Adam have at it. Right? You know, the scene was all set. You got the burning train. The rails are falling apart. The bridge is coming apart underneath them. Adam and Abe confront each other on the train. He does this cool invisible ghost buddy from the Matrix thing where he's like, ha-ha, where's your silver now? Bow. One punch. That's all it takes to put out it. Oh, come on, guys.
I was ready for him to go, so I didn't care. Like, die already. You annoy me.
Let's get
back to Abe and the X.
It's got to hurt. So, I don't know. But see, that's another example. I mean, just I kept feeling that the action sequences were just a little too short because there was so much they could have done that would have been a little bit more fun. But overall, so, like I said, so ridiculous. So I really did like the movie. It's when I go back and I think about this stuff, it was good.
Yeah, you sent out a tweet said you liked this movie and you were surprised about it.
I was. it was good. However, here's another thing. Was that not the whitest looking Harriet Tubman you have ever seen?
Oh my, was I supposed to be Harriet Tubman?
That's why it took me a second. He had to say, you know, Miss Tubman. I said, I mean, look at the
people. That was Harriet, though. Oh, hell no.
Look, it was like following Alicia Keys through the Underground Railroad. There's no way that was what Harriet Tubman looked. No way.
But I was supposed to be her. I was afraid to play, lady.
They had to backlight her to make her look dark. There was just no way that that's what Harriet Tubman looked like.
Did you recognize dude from Adjustment Bureau? Anthony Mackie, the black guy, the best friend.
Oh, that was Will.
Like, yeah.
He was the buddy from Adjustment. Yeah. I didn't realize. It's like, cool.
Oh, that's cool. Did you also? Oh no, that's something else. Okay. Anyway, but I wasn't surprised. This like Battleship was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. So it's like my expectations were on par with what they delivered. Mm-hmm. So
I think Battleship was better than I thought it was going to be. This movie was kind of what I thought it was going to be, mm-hmm. or at least is how much I like it.
All right, that's fine.
Oh, but yeah, but I mean, Carl just touched on it a bit too. But yeah, it was that kind of hurt the film for me. Just that all the vampires in general were pretty disposable. Like, yeah, they were all really, really ugly and vicious looking. But at the end of the day,
did you say it hurt it for you?
Yeah, because there was never any tension. Like, because it never felt like the bad guys were ever in any peril. And, because they just, it's like, the good guys just had everything in their favor and just, like, mowed through vampires like nothing, by and large. And that kind of hurt for me, because in other vampire movies or other creature movies, usually, especially when they do, like, a first in film, even just one vampire can be so much trouble. Mm-hmm. And so difficult. Like, even in the first Twilight, it's insane how much trouble they have.
Well, that one guy that killed his mom, that was trouble. And he kept making it out of stuff.
Yeah, kind of, sort of. But also, I mean, I guess he got out of stuff because Abe did not, you know, he needed silver and everything like that and all the rules. But once he got the rules, I mean, the way he was just, like, his first five kills were just, like, nothing. You know, just like walk through him. It would have been nice to see him maybe having to learn the ropes a bit.
I thought we did.
We no, did, but like, it, like 2 seconds.
That tension, because again, I'm always saying, you know, the fight scenes tell you something about the characters, and fight scenes is also like a dance when it comes to a movie. It's got to be executed in a way that tells the story, because not just because they were quick, but we saw him chop a tree, and then he was a vampire hunter. You know, that suddenly he's an expert at
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but I like the scene. He's... What about the scene where he went into the shop, and then he got stuck on the trap door with the rope, and he was upside down with the knife, and then he shanked the guy.
Yeah, that but was dang, some... that was some crazy ninja stuff, and that was like his first time out, where he's just
yeah, but he chopped down a tree in one swing, so I accepted it. Like you said, the rules of the universe, you accept that if a guy can chop down a tree with one swipe, then
yeah, he could... But... It's not that it wasn't inconsistent with the rules of the universe, but also the rules of the universe say, I guess, the vampires are just like all bark and no bite. You know,
no
and
pun
that's
intended,
little,
right?
Yeah, that's just a little bit weak. You know,
which, by the way, which also matched in with the tree. You see, no bark and no bite. But anyway,
that was so painful.
but I mean, but look, physics is one thing with the physics of the universe, but there were ninja skills. Like, of course, Abe had a knife in his boot or whatever and was able to magically drop it and, like, catch it in his mouth. Didn't he kill the dude with the knife in his mouth, right? I mean, it was just like, what?
And while I'm okay with a lot of with certain magic, one magic that I don't like in general is just that little rule how, like, a vampire can't kill another vampire.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there's, like, an invisible barrier. Like, I hate little rules like that because then you want to test them. Like, can a vampire set, like, a boulder as a trap? And if another vampire, like, trips the trap, will the boulder just suspend in air?
It's a Wile E. Coyote.
Awesome. I'm just saying, like, when you have little rules like that, like, can a vampire set something up? Or is it just he just can't?
Well, he
just
set something up. He did set something up.
But I mean, but
the boulder was Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, I know, but it just seemed a little bit too convenient. Like, okay, well, we need to, you know... And it just seemed like a easy way to explain why Henry's doing what he's doing and where Abe fits into this whole business. But I was just like, oh, we can't kill the vampire.
You know, Carl, when you said that one minute Abe was chopping down vampires and then the next minute he was giving a speech, to me sometimes when he'd like try to do presidential things or things leading up to his, but it felt like it was kind of shoehorned in, like, oh yeah, we got to do something Abraham Lincoln-ish and not focus on vampires too much so we can kind of keep with the, you know, Abraham Lincoln thing. So sometimes it felt like it took away from the movie being awesome because they had to, like, oh yeah, let's show him reading a law book. Let's show
and
him being.
I didn't realize this as I was watching it, but there is one bit of, like, how does that work? I think I read it in
just
Ebert
one,
too.
Just one.
There's one bit of, like, inconsistency with any real world anything, but so, like, day one of Gettysburg happens, and the vampires are winning because the Union forces have no way to hold them back. And then Lincoln gets the whole idea of the fork and silver. So somehow in the course of one day, they collect all the silver in Washington, D.C., smelt it, make it into
cannonballs and stuff.
Cannonballs, yeah, and munitions. Bayonets. Load them up on the trains. Send them all out. All, like, I guess, over the course of the night.
What? No,
like,
wait, how do you...
I thought that was over a course of...
Oh, yeah. At the most, it was 2 days.
What? Well, how are you getting the time out of that?
Because the train got to Gettysburg before the fight was over, and that's how the Union supposedly won, and then Abe shows up for his Gettysburg address. So this all had to take... Because we already had day one of the battle... The battle's only, I don't remember, 4 days or so in real life?
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
Somehow they had to just make all this happen in maybe 2 days at the most.
Wow, okay. Well, if you got the timetable, that is that, you know, independent of everything else.
Especially if they had slaves smuggling on foot.
Well, yeah, but, you know, they already had the Underground Railroad laid out, so the path was good. They had the path. But still, if that is the timetable, that was ridiculous.
On the plus side, though, I mean, all those elements were based on true history. Collect all the silver up because they needed it to make munitions. And I mean, that's all real, and that's cool how they blended into you know, the story.
I love how they did that. And by the way, wasn't that pretty? That pullback shot where they're hovering over the city as they're collecting the silver, and you can see it sparkling in all the little
that
windows.
Was good.
And that little stuff like that.
Yeah, that was really good. Really
but nice. That was the one bit where they had to stretch.
Yeah, I was so, not aware of it. I wasn't aware of the timeline, but yeah, that's a little much there if it's true. But it's
so Eric, do you know a lot about Abraham Lincoln? Like how much history was in this thing?
I mean, Speed was a real person. His childhood friend was a real person. You know, awesome. he did work in the shop. He met his wife like that. His law degree. He lost his mom when he was young. Lost his son. You know, I'm assuming he went to New Orleans and did all that. I mean,
I just wondered how the guy got the idea for it. Like, how, what type of.
Well, the thing is, this.
Do you have to be on?
No. Well, see, look, there was another book before this book that kind of started the ball rolling by a different author, Pride and Prejudice with Zombies. That's the original, and Pride and Prejudice with Zombies is like really famous, or it's a known book now. And they took the exact Jane Austen story, Pride and Prejudice, and it starts off exactly the same, and all the characters are consistent, and everything goes along the way it does in the story if you're familiar with it. But then zombies come, and then all the characters act true to themselves, as established in the Jane Austen novel, except deal with the zombies. And that book was, like, really, really popular. And there's also Pride and Prejudice with Zombies 2.
Oh, wow.
And then came along Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, which is not a sequel, per se, but it's sort of part of the series, even though it's its own separate thing.
Yeah.
And so the author basically did the same thing. Well, they didn't take a work of fiction, but they took all the true history and then added the vampire elements and try to keep as much of the true history as possible. So,
I love that. That just amuses me to no end. I wanted to read the. Sorry. Go ahead.
No. I'm just agreeing. You know, that's part of what I mean when I say it's smart. If you're taking that much history and you can interweave it and you can make the pieces that are historically accurate, you just mix in the vampire part. You know, in a way that fits together as a cohesive whole. That's great. That is really fun that they could do that.
I'm ready to watch National Treasure again.
I'm not a fan of those movies.
I am. I love Nicolas Cage and his silly hair, but whatever. So let's see. This movie cost $69 million to make. That was the production budget.
Not bad.
Domestic total as of June 24th. 16 million.
Oh man, really?
Foreign is excuse me. Worldwide is 24 million.
Yeah. Well, Brave brought in like 60 something this weekend. Yeah. So.
Well, a lot of people are hearing the title Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter and treating it like, you know, they did a Battleship when they knew it was, you know, based on the board game, and just dismissing it out of hand because it sounds stupid and they expect it to be horrible. And
so for the type of movie that it is, like a hard R, I mean, there's some nips in there for no reason at all. But
I didn't realize it was rated R.
Oh, it had to be. Like, I was thinking watching it. Like, this is
like,
already
why? Because I didn't. There was not a sex scene, like a Watchmen sex scene.
No. There wasn't any sex scene, but it was just. Nah, it was too much blood and et cetera for a PG-13. Because a PG-13, sometimes they'll have that amount of death and carnage, but they won't show gore and blood to that extent.
Was Cabin in the Woods R?
It has to be.
Okay.
It has to be.
I'm just trying to figure, like, what? Okay.
And see, for a R slasher or quasi scary movie, because they do try to do those typical, like, horror movie, you know, what do you call that? When things jump out for no reason whatsoever.
Yeah.
Not a fan of that. But for that type of movie, this kind of opening is not a bad thing at all. R movies seldom make so much. Only strange things like Prometheus are rated R, and you know. And
Cabin in the Woods was R.
Yeah, it had to be. Buckets of blood in that movie.
Blood splatter, stuff like that. Yeah. So, I kind of want to hear from like a person who saw it, hated it, or a person who like, well, I'm not seeing that. Like, why? Why not? It's
I can see
hilarious.
Why someone wouldn't see it, but to see it and dislike it, you had to be, I don't know what you were thinking. But I could see how someone could be like, because I know a lot of people, like, when you see the tree chop or the stampede, like, all right, I'm done. I could see.
I was a little done at the tree chop thing, when it, but I was just like, because the guy, he was like a young Liam Neeson mixed with the kind of Cumberbatch, what's his name? Yeah, Cumberbatch hair. Benedict Cumberbatch, Sherlock Holmes hair. And so that reminded me of Sherlock Holmes 2 when they did The Wood, because they did something kind of similar in Sherlock Holmes 2. And you and I, Eric, we talked about how that was kind of cool. But I don't know. It was like something I was like, oh my God, what are we in for at the tree chop? Or this is going to. And then there was like some inconsistencies with shooting. Like one minute he was all scarred up, he had the one eye closed or whatever, then he was all fresh face, then he got beat up again, but he was beat up in the same one eye, and then he had the same a scar on his forehead that he had previously. So I'm like, oh God, there's some inconsistency with the makeup there. I don't know what they're doing.
Don't forget he had his little makeup kit in the saloon that he would always go after a night of fighting.
Oh, like, yes,
kind
right.
Kind of dab it on to cover it up. Which, by the way, I kept seeing it a couple of times. It looked like sunscreen. You know, it looked like he was putting on some sunscreen or whatever. And I'm going, wait a minute, why is Abe Lincoln putting on sunscreen? Then I thought, wait, maybe he's already a vampire, which would have been, but no, alas, no, he was not a vampire.
Yeah, I didn't think he was a vampire. Did anybody think that Henry was a vampire? I didn't get it. It was a shocker for me.
I didn't.
His friend, that when he started teaching him. Morpheus.
Oh, yeah.
Carl, yeah,
because yeah, he was, Giles. By the way, rocking the glasses. So that was Morpheus, yeah. Now that we're talking about it. He was rocking the glasses. I don't know. I had some suspicions about that guy.
Really?
I had some suspicions.
It's funny.
But he was cool, though. I thought Henry was cool.
Yeah,
I liked him as a character. Of course, I like the glasses. I got to make me some of those or find me some of those.
Weren't that cool.
I like them.
I wonder too now if this is gonna spawn a lot of like low budget sequels like Starship Troopers or whatever, or like The Mummy, because especially when Adam gives his real quick thing about I was there with, you know, the Jews and the Pharaohs, and I was there, and he like goes through like written history real quick, all the stuff he's been through, like, because I just see like now if they want to just all those straight to video sequels they can make, and prequels and every other thing.
Moses, vampire.
Well, I'm far more interested in the chronological sequel to this movie, which would be Barack Obama, Vampire Hunter. That would be
yes. Oh my, because
what?
He's list that he has family members who are not here anymore, and so he would like vampires would have harmed those family members, so it would be kind of tasteless to do it. I don't know. It would be weird, wouldn't it, to see like his story and like how his mom isn't with us anymore, and oh, she was killed by vampires. Wouldn't it be tacky?
Well, yeah,
you can work on that fanfic.
We could start from the present. We could start with the present. You know, where he just goes into the present and sees like, oh, by the way, sir, vampires are real. Have a nice day. You know, that'd be.
I want to fit that thing where he had to sing Al Green.
But now I thought it was interesting though of how the movie ended with the potential of a sequel for it. Of course, you know, all good movies have to end on a cliffhanger / potential for sequel. With the guys in the bar. Was it Abe Lincoln texting? Because of course.
Yeah, no, that was Henry.
Who was Henry?
That was his friend. That was Morpheus texting.
Oh, that was Morpheus texting.
Yeah, oh, Lincoln's dead today.
Yeah, well, we don't know. You know, I mean, maybe Henry might have slipped
him. Assassinated, didn't he?
No, before the theater. He might have slipped him something before the theater, And now, you know, he could just be undercover. That was all just a cover.
I'm not going to let you write the script.
Because, you know, he could just be keeping, because Abe kept his little diary all the time. So
hey,
you know,
Eric, could you save him?
But moved on to the iPad.
No, no. Gone.
Zip it.
Help me. You know, go,
no.
Fine. Oh, your pants.
Oh, you fine. Take you and your stupid glasses and hush it.
Fine.
Little mirrors in it. That way you can look and see vampires from the side. Vampires from the side. Awesome.
So yeah, that I hope it make it makes it its money back, this movie, but you know,
I think it will with DVD, Blu-ray sales, etc. And there will be some type of cult following, I'm sure. So
there's already costumes out and pictures of people in costumes.
Don't doubt it.
Yeah, oh, I love this. I love this film. I think it's
really no. I liked it, but
I'd watch it again. I might buy it.
I want to say something sacrilegious. I actually like if I just compare this movie to just the first Twilight movie.
Yeah.
I like the first Twilight movie better.
Than Abraham Lincoln Vampire. Yeah. Yeah. No, I like this better than Twilight. Twilight felt.
I like them both, but I'm just saying.
I didn't feel embarrassed by saying, "Hey, I'm going to see Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter." I feel embarrassed saying I'm going to see Twilight, and I don't really like. I mean, I like the third movie I really liked, but the first and second ones I had to really.
The reason I bring up the first one is because I was a super hater before I ever saw or read it, and I was one of those people who.
No, you weren't. You were like, "Kat, you need to read the books. I'm reading the book. What are you talking about?"
That was after. That was after the movie had already been out. No, because I never read it or saw it for an entire year after it came out at the movies. Like, I totally...
Weren't you on an episode with Hanako and I talking about Twilight? Or was that Harry Potter?
Or it could be, that could have been a Twilight sequel.
Maybe.
That was probably like, you know...
I just always remember you being...
No, but for the original Twilight film, no, it was a complete year... after the fact, and then I watched it, and I couldn't believe how much I liked the movie. I was ridiculously surprised, because it was just, that's why I brought it up, because it's something that I expected to be complete crap and devoid of anything interesting, but then when I actually took the time to watch it, I was like, wow, I didn't expect any of this, and the movie was, I thought, very well made, the first Twilight, and so...
Ooh, that's like strong. Really impressive. You're joking? How much have you had to drink? Is that $5 tequila?
No, I'm just being consistent. I think the first Twilight movie is really good.
You like really? Skyline?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, I think Breaking Dawn Part 1 is like by far the worst of the series.
I still haven't seen that. I had my niece describe the movie to me, and after she described it, I was like, I never want to see it.
Haven't seen it.
Hell to the no, man.
What? But especially when you like...
I like three.
Third, but
you... Okay, yeah, let's... Because Carl is creepily quiet, and...
Well, I haven't seen the Twilight, so I can't comment.
Well, I thought you were judging us in the background.
No, judgment. Well, I am judging, but I was doing it silently, so...
It wasn't that silent. It was, like, really loud.
But I'm telling you, the first one really impressed me because...
Why? I mean, it felt like a sci-fi original.
No, because...
Yes.
No, because I went to it... I knew there was going to be a love story thing, but I didn't know what else there was going to be. And what there was, I never expected. I never saw coming. And it was... You know, I was... It felt fresh. It felt new. Like, I had never seen this type of scenario happen in a vampire movie and like, blah, blah, blah.
Exactly. It felt like...
And I didn't even really know that there was a whole werewolf element initially going in. And so it had, like, way more to offer me than I thought. Mm-mm. You know?
I'll watch True Blood because their werewolves are sexier.
Oh, yeah. It's one thing I just wanted to mention about Abraham Lincoln, and that was... I don't know if anybody noticed, but the guy who played Abe's dad in the beginning of the movie, that was Eddard Stark's brother in Game of Thrones season 1.
Oh, dear.
Hey, when you got a nose like that.
Game
I'm just saying. I was like, I know that nose anywhere. And so even though I don't know the actor's name, that was Eddard Stark's brother, Brandon Stark, who went off into up north of the wall and never came back.
Huh. Wow.
Yeah. But I just recognized him right away. He had all the Stark features.
Nice. Okay, so if you have anything else to say about Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter,
Yes. Say it
now or forever hold your peace.
Yes, I just want to go on the record as saying, again, I did not think that it was a believable portrayal of either the President of the United States or Harriet Tubman. However, I got to say Harriet Tubman was mighty hot. So give me a call, girl. Just call me sometime. Sorry, not Harriet Tubman.
I did not know that that was supposed to be Harriet Tubman.
The scene where they're getting out of the boat, because you remember they rode, you know, all night, you know, through the swamp, and they show up at the the house or whatever, and they're getting out of the boat and they're heading toward the house. One of them says something like, "Oh, you know, thanks for your assistance, Miss Tubman." And I was like, "Oh, come on!" You know,
yeah,
not here because my brain was not feeling.
No, I knew it was supposed to be her, and I also knew it looked nothing like any of the photos.
No,
well, I guess if we can believe that Abraham Lincoln is a vampire hunt, we can let that slide.
Mm, yeah, Harriet was looking hot.
That's funny. Okay, so this is our Falling Sky segment of Sci-Fi Party Line. Again, I have Carl and Eric. We're going to talk about the first three episodes of Falling Sky Season 2. Okay, so I received a DVD from TNT. From TNT. Well, I got to disclose that they gave me one for free, so whatever. But
and that's a wrap.
The first couple of episodes, I wasn't pumped up, okay? I was trying to say something nice or whatever. I don't know. I thought we were going to get more insight into the aliens, and I thought it was just going to be different, or I don't know what I thought, but it just wasn't.
Shame on you.
Really? Yeah, I know.
You should know from other shows that we all know.
Just... But it seemed like such a big epic end, and then just to have him like booted off the spaceship within the first 5 minutes of this new season, and then like, hey, he just stuck something in me, and I'm off to the second mast, and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like,
and shows have done this time and time again.
That's fine.
Felt a little like V.
No, when Diana was in the underground, whatever, and then she just died. Anyway, I don't know. And then just to disclose again, I tried to watch the third, because again, guys, I do not have TV. I watch everything on my computer and my iPad. And for some reason, the TNT site uses Flash to show videos, and it kept crashing.
In every
browser that I use three different browsers, and it crashed in all three. I, try to get it reinstalled, boot it again, and then their commercial breaks are 3 minutes long each.
Wow.
So I did not see the end of the third episode of Falling Skies. All I know is that Avery Churchill from the Continental Congress or something has come in with the plane, and then that's it. I have revealed how I felt kind of lukewarm on the beginning of the second season of Falling Skies. Eric, you came into Falling Skies, you're kind of new to it, and you watched it out of order, and you had kind of a favorable response to it. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, actually, I still have only seen two episodes from season one.
Oh, dear.
Like 7 and 8 of season one. And I saw them and I thought, okay, that's what it is. All right, I'll just go with it. But no, I was going to try to watch the rest, but wasn't able to. But the promos for season two got my interest. I guess it was during the NBA playoffs when I was getting bombarded with those promos, like at every commercial break. And I thought, I want to see this. And from what I had already seen, from what little bit I've seen from season one, I could tell, like, I don't feel like I need to watch the whole season. Like, I could tell that it seemed to have a lot of waiting going on, or waiting for something to happen. I could get that vibe just from the two episodes that I watched. And so I was like, I'm just going to go in and start with season two. And it was all right. It wasn't as compelling. And even though I didn't know what happened in the season one finale, I could put two and two together from the way season two started. And I felt the letdown that everybody else felt, even though I didn't have to go through all the angst and pain. but I was just like, yeah, okay, of course. Of course. And one thing that did bother me, though, a little bit, at the very beginning, there's, like, the crawler type, the ones that have, like, spidery legs or whatever.
Yeah.
And the one that the kid shot, but, you know, didn't realize his dad was behind it, when I was watching it and it was getting shot, it looked like a man wearing the suit, and then the suit had, like, the legs appendages, you know? Like I even thought the man's legs were visible, like his human legs in the center, and it looked like a man wearing like a prosthetic dress with legs with limbs sticking off, and I just thought, wow, that looks really poor. Like I would rather have the faux CGI looking ones than the one that literally looks like a man in a suit. It felt very old school, low budget Doctor Who.
Almost like he was beaten up on a laundry hamper on the ceiling of a building someplace. You don't get that kind of corny stuff.
Maybe it was Noah Wiley since he was standing behind it.
Oh, man.
And so that one affected, but it really kind of threw me out of it for a second. But whatever. You know, I don't need to take it that serious. But and then the, I don't know, just him kind of having his little meeting with the tall, skinny, the... Were those the Kaminos from Attack of the Clones? Long neck people who make the clones.
Yeah. They could also be the evolved androids at the end of AI. So I'll take either one of those.
Yeah, those do. Yeah, and like I don't know. It just seemed like it's complete. Like I felt the collective letdown. Like wow, this is all they are. Is these like malevolent aliens who don't want to negotiate and don't explain why they just want to wipe everybody out. And it just, I don't know. And I did wonder for a moment, though, if the long, lanky ones were just like maybe like the fake front of the alien organization. Like they're made to look like the leaders, but maybe they're just puppets. Because it almost seemed that way. But whatever. That's neither here nor there. I don't know. It's all right. It's all right. And I'll keep watching it. But I was not compelled at any point.
I kind of felt that way. Carl?
Well, Kat, you are a woman of integrity. When I saw you tweeting that you had received the free DVDs, I was a little concerned about what the review might be. I have not been a big fan of Falling Skies. We've talked about this in the past, and the deal is I try to give sci-fi series, you know, a little extra time. I try to ride them out, you know, because so many start really, really slow and don't quite get there.
You're right. You do. Give them time.
One of my biggest complaints about, well, my two biggest complaints about Falling Skies is one, yes, Eric, there is a whole lot of waiting. So, you know, there's buildup and then stuff doesn't seem to happen. It's like, oh, we've got an entire school under siege. We've got buses overturned as a barricade. Oh, the war is really going to break out now. And we'll just drive away on motorcycles. What? You know, that's it. That's all you're going to do here. And so that the buildup and then the lack of any really visceral resolution is my first major complaint with the series as a whole. The second one is the dialogue. There's something really, really wrong with the dialogue on this show. Now, it's not just that I can say 2 seconds ahead of time what the next person is going to say. It's just I know. It's gonna say, oh, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. Good thing you're here. I mean, it's just like, I always know. And it's got that kind of corny edge to it where I'm trying
to resemble George Lucas dialogue.
Well, it's a little bit like that, but it's almost hammier than that.
Wow.
I can't quite, you know, put my finger on it. It's got an element of predictability to it. It's got it's just something that it just doesn't feel real. And all of the characters, you know, we got the, you know, the badass captain. He's in charge. He's all gristly and he's in charge. But I don't know if it's what he's saying, but I just can't quite buy him like that. Then we got our, you know, our biker team. What are they called? The
berserkers.
Oh my god.
The berserkers. You know, they straight up, you know, look like, you know, the open
Zartan.
Yeah, buddies. But they're like, you know, they're like the, you know, the metrosexual version of them. You know, it's just like just pulled out of a bar, you know, and we just hear. So I'm trying to buy them as ruthless, you know, Mad Max like bad guy bikers, but they just no. So it's part of that, and it's but. The thing that really bugs me is if you look at the casting, you know, particularly Moon and Noah, these people can act.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to figure out, it's got to be the writing. Why is it so incomplete, not quite connecting? It's something doesn't feel right. So the whole series has been that way. So I'm trying to get around that. The whole time I'm watching it, and then you know you match that with the you know the sometimes interesting special effects, and so I'm like leaning in, trying like come on, fellas, guys, give me something. So it's been a little challenging. Now, with all of that said, earlier today I finally got around to watching episode 3. Of the series. Now, Eric, did you see 3?
Yeah, I did.
You did see 3.
I don't mind if you spoil me. Go ahead.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Just talk about it.
I'm going to tell you this. I think 3 is probably the best episode that they have had.
Oh, of Fallen wow. Star.
Why is that?
I'm finally, you know, because I'm not saying it was an exceptional episode. I'm simply saying it is the best that they have had so far. And by that, I mean, okay. So, Kat, how far did you get into it?
I told you, I got to Avery Churchill in the plane and her talking about the Continental Congress and then wanting to go to North Carolina. And then the Flash crashed on TNT website. Thank you.
So, you know, Noah's son, you know, the one with the spikes in his back that's been acting.
Ben.
You know, Ben's been out in the woods with his buddy, and they're out, sniping the aliens that they can find out in the woods. And the aliens stab his buddy. You know, did you see that part?
No, they threw him on a tree, and the tree had a piece of bark sticking out. Right.
Okay, so, you know, he comes back to the trailer and, you know, oh, the boy's in critical condition. Will he survive? Well, you know, this is Fallen Skies. The character's been interesting. He has a lot of connections to all the folks on the show. You know, he had a flake of you know, something kind of interesting. So, yeah, right. Is a guy going to die? Come on. It's Fallen Skies. Guess what? He dies, Kat.
Yeah, I saw that part.
So, you're like, well, finally, you know, at least you have something that's a little harder hitting. The other thing is, each one of the characters, I thought it was interesting that they stick Noah on the Berserkers. I thought that made sense given the dynamic of what was going on with those guys, and that could have been interesting. You know, that made sense. You know, early, before this, Falling Skies just would have had the Berserkers go off into the woods and sulk and then come back and harass him. But no, to try to work him in there to say, all right, you know, just hang out with the Berserkers and see
how
that
But, you know, it's complicated for me, Carl. Sorry to cut you off. Why is there a separate group within the group? Why isn't everybody either Berserkers or the Second Mask?
Because they're the crazies and they do the immoral
Are they the Maquis of the starship?
Which in a way, but they're just they cross boundaries that quote unquote normal people won't within the camp.
And not only that,
but they seem as
that's just their intense. Bad writing. It's the bad writing, but the concept of who the Berserkers are supposed to be. Because remember, you know, no one, for the most part, everybody is volunteer in this army. So the Berserkers, when they show up, they are not a part of the mass, you know, the second mass scene. Right. They're just kind of like, well, look, as long as you feed us, we'll try not to kill you. You know, they're hanging out on the side, so they're not part of the team. That's why they're always on the side. But and clearly they're a rogue, you know, they're supposed to be like the West Side Story bad guys, you know, granted they're... But so they're supposed to, you know, represent that character, and I got that, and I thought it was kind of fun that you pitch the, you know, Noah's character, who is now becoming, you know, potentially unhinged. We don't know if he actually has been infected by the aliens in any way other than the worm they pulled out of his eye. By the way, you know, have aliens not heard of USB? I could think of a better connector for your spy gear than inserting worms in your eye. That was not cool. But again,
at least they didn't give him an anal probe.
Hey, we don't know where it went in. We don't know where it went in. So you know, there were elements in episode 3 that I started seeing, okay, finally, you know, okay, so they killed off a kid. All right, that's keeping it.
Oh my God.
No, come on, look, that's how they started Galactica, and everybody was just fine with that. So don't start with me. So they killed off a kid. God. So it wasn't as soft as, you know, they have been in Fallen Skies. They showed a little something, you know, human with, you know, the captain and how he responded to the loss of that boy.
Punch in a locker.
No, later on in the episode.
I missed, you know, that part then.
You know, he acts, so this, and shockingly, in this episode, there was not one instance where I was like, this dialogue is, again, as hammy as it has been. For some reason, I don't know what it was, because I'm very sensitive to it, and I've seen it the entire series. I was utterly shocked that they made it through an entire episode where stuff actually sounded right. People were kind of getting, you know, into where they're supposed to be in terms of, you know, how they were speaking, what they were saying. The motivation seemed to kind of line up. I gotta say, like I said, out of all the episodes of Falling Skies, I'm not saying it was the most exciting. I'm not saying that, you know, it's gonna save this year. I'm just saying something about episode 3 just seemed to be better than what we've
seen. See, Carl, I have to agree with you, because I was thinking the same thing, which is why I was so irritated that I didn't get to see the whole episode. So I was saying this was better than the first 2 episodes. Yeah. And 3, I don't know, I just think the lady coming in and everything, I didn't care about that kid or whatever. So him dying, I was just like, whatever, what do you, whatever.
Yes, the other thing. Oh, I just want to throw in now, and with the idea of them, you know, heading off to Charleston. You know, we get a little tired of you know, the Walking Dead scenario of where our heroes are, you know, walking through the woods, camping at a farm, walking through the woods, camping at a school. We've even made some comment about how it seemed like it Fallen Skies was feeling like, you know, the Walking Dead. Some of that stuff was kind of,
yeah.
So now that they flew in the lady, you know, the United Congress lady or whatever, we have opened up a potential for, you know, we're outside of the bottle of the shows that we've seen so far. There's more than just the folks that we've seen. There's a chance that they're bringing some new kind of concepts and blood into what the concept of Falling Skies has been.
Well, I thought Captain Weaver still wanted to go to the Catskills.
Well, that's part of what happens toward the end of the episode, where you know, he looks around, and the last couple of battles, you know, just trying to cross a bridge, all the folks he's lost, and he's looking at that, and he kind of goes, well, geez, you know, I'm losing people left and right. You know, Noah jumps in and says something to the effect of, look, you know, the only thing that's keeping us together is the, you know, this will to fight and the banding together to try to feel like we're making a difference, you know, fighting against the aliens. You want us to camp out all winter long in the woods, like, you know, some cavemen? He's like, that's, you know, these people, besides being uncomfortable and being cold, are not going to have that fire. It's going to feel like that they've given up. And I mean, like I said, I mean, this is reasonable conversations for those guys to be having, which again is a shock for those guys. This is a reasonable dialogue, and it's a legitimate concern. So what happens is, at the end of the episode, they do have a funeral for the boy, and everybody comes around, and it's not corny. You know, they actually have a decent funeral around where, you know, they're sitting around, and, you know, they got a little, you know, backlight shoulder stuff, and they're thinking about their situation. And the captain finally sits back, and he goes, well, look, you know, My other alternative is lead you guys all up. I mean, this is what's going through his head. He'll lead you guys into the mountains to hang out in the winter. We have a lifeline here. We've lost so many good people. All right, I'm willing to give this a shot. Let's go out on faith and try to head off to Charleston. And so that's what happens. That's what he decides to do. Also at the end of the episode, can't remember. Yeah, okay. So you remember that the battle between the boys Ben and his buddy when they're sniping the aliens, and the alien comes up to Ben and does that. You know, we don't know what it is, that glowy control back thing.
Yeah.
Well, at the end of the episode, the camp is breaking. They're all packing up and they're rolling out for Charleston. And I believe Ben has gone back to the grave of his buddy. So everybody is pulling out. They're all leaving. Ben's there. I guess he's at the grave. We just see him. It's at night. He's in the woods, and he's there by himself. The alien comes back. He comes back and he again does that kind of, you know, paralysis thing where he's holding his hand over him, and, you know, we can't tell what's going on. Eventually someone comes to get Ben. Hey, Ben, you know, it's time to go. And, you know, of course, the alien hears it and runs away and comes up, and Ben, you know, kind of turns to the guy and goes, oh, he says, are you all right? He says, yeah, no, I'm fine. You know, hop on the back of the motorcycle and go and drives off at night. So we get the sense that we don't know if Ben is, you know, is giving away locations or plans or something, but the alien has got some kind of motivation. He's pulling something out of Ben there, and Ben is not entirely aware that it's going on. So, interesting twist also, where, you know, everybody is suspecting Noah as being the traitor and as being the security risk. But, of course, we got loose cannon Ben, who's, you know, leaking plans and strategies or whatever to the aliens. We don't know. That's kind of how the episode ends. But so I'm telling you, I was really surprised, because that, you know, that's my first. I have not been thrilled with Fallen Scott, and I've been trying to hang in there, and I've been trying, you know, for all the reasons I told you. It has not been an easy ride trying to, you know, hang with Fallen Skies. But finally, with this episode, stuff kind of felt watchable. You know, it just started to have a glimmer that things might be getting better on the series. I gotta see where it goes. But hey, surprise! Season in three.
Do you like Fallen Skies better than Terra Nova?
you had to put me in this Charleston bind, didn't you?
Oh, you don't have to answer that. I was being a
smart. I like Terra Nova better.
Oh.
I thought there was more interesting characters on Terra Nova in the cast.
I had a higher budget. Yeah. Fallen Skies, it just feels Canadian. Like, it just really feels...
No, it does. It does. And aside from the look of the locations, because Carl was talking earlier about how, like, the badasses don't quite seem badass. Like, that reminds me of, like, when they have, like, some kind of urban gang. But if it's produced in Canada and most of the actors are Canadians... Like, there's just something that does not
work, quite, yeah. Like, South
Central. You know,
it doesn't feel like South Central.
because one of the berserkers is Kat from BSG, the same actress.
Oh, that is her.
And but just like in BSG, too, I never really bought her as being all this, like, thuggy, yeah, like, crazy. And I feel the same lack of that as her as a berserker.
Another one of those berserkers is from Sanctuary and from your favorite movie, Carl, Apollo 18. That's Ryan Robbins.
Crap.
Yeah. Okay. But yeah, no, Eric, I see what you... Because, like, yeah, no, to me, the Canadian, like, when they have, like black people Canadians, you know, trying to be, like, hood and stuff, and it just,
God,
like... Right,
Juilliard!
Yeah, that doesn't work. I'm like, that. I don't reckon... What is... Oh, he's a Canadian. So, it's just... And, you know, not, you know, for the Canadian brothers and sisters that's out there listening, you know, don't take offense. We're just teasing you guys. Don't be polite like you always. Anyway.
Well, you know, you have a lot to fear, because, you know, those Canadian street gangs, they'll just show up at your doorstep at any time. Yeah, you're closer to them up there in New York, so now they're going to come down and rough you up.
Oh, Canadian, send me your abuse. I can take it. So, go ahead, Eric.
No, but the thing that's bothering me with the show right now with just what I've
five episodes in, Eric?
Yeah, but I don't understand.
You haven't suffered, man.
You have not. Yeah.
No, the one thing. No, it made sense when I was watching season one. This particular thing that's bothering me, but now where we are in the story and in season two, I don't understand why the aliens can't get rid of just this band.
Yeah.
Like, what is the difficulty? Especially when Red Eye, of course he has to have, like, a distinguishing feature.
Yes.
But Red Eye is constantly in their shadows.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So he is virtually always having eyes on them.
Strategy-wise. If I have got, you know, an extraterrestrial, you know, team of UFOs scouting for a band of humans in what appears to be the woods, and you know, and they're flying all around, and I'm trying to find them. Now, never mind the fact I have got some of my best soldiers wandering around the woods on foot, or feet, or whatever for four of them, you know. I'm just going to let that slide. I just want to point out the slight strategic flaw of putting all of the humans in an aircraft hangar. You're telling me that the aliens flying around the woods cannot see, because of course they had to go bus distance across the bridge, right? So they managed to get the team across the bridge. So whatever little circular Venn pattern you want to draw of the distance that a bus could go in a certain amount of time, you're telling me that you're not going to say, well, okay, mountain range, stream path, you know, wooded area, aircraft hangar. I don't know where they are. We can't find them. No clue, guys. Yeah, just keep flying around. We're going to send like two or three of you out on foot in the woods just by yourself and say, let's see if we can find them on foot. Come on, guys. Come on.
So I don't even remember them getting or finding the aircraft carrier. All I just kind of remember is them being there, and I was like, whoa, what happened? So did I miss something? Or?
No, I think they mentioned it. There's like an offhand line. Oh. Like, oh, we're going to try to get to that airport, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, but airport and aircraft. That's a good point. When I was reading the previews, because I was wanted to make sure I hadn't missed any episodes, I'm reading it at, you know, episode three, and it said something to the fact that the team is held up in an aircraft. Aircraft hangar.
Yeah, I saw that.
Did I miss an episode?
That's what I felt like.
So that's funny. You're right though. They did say we got to get to the airport, but they didn't mention there's a giant honking hangar, you know, on the airstrip that if only something that flies.
And
could
then
be.
Like, how did the lady in the plane get there without like the aliens shooting her down or something? And like, did they miss?
She
that?
Has a lot. She has some lines where she explains how it's invisible to radar, but
because she's flying low.
But
and of course, thankfully, the aliens can't hear, because that kind of plane, you know, dual wing, rather bi wing, putting along across the land. So, no, they're not going to be able to hear that.
You see, these are the things that are bothering me. And there's so many ways that, you know, unless they somehow are going to retcon and explain that the aliens were letting them live this whole time during season two, intentionally. Because why didn't the aliens themselves take out the bridge? They should have known. If they had them on two sides, you know, already, and the aliens knew that they would have been there, why couldn't they fly and see, oh, there's a bridge? That's the only way they have out. Why couldn't the aliens take out the bridge?
Well, they better.
They had their recon outpost just across on the other side of the river.
And not a small one. It was like indoor up in there. I mean, that thing was huge. It was
about the alien thing that they blew up?
Yes.
Yeah, it was just
that,
like, it was...
that total sequence reminded me of Cowboys and Aliens, how, like, they just blew up this.
Yeah, it reminded me of that, and both of those reminded me of the shield generator outpost on Endor.
That's what I'm saying.
But their forces, right? So they had them on two sides, plus they had that outpost on the third side. Why didn't they come at them from the third side?
Their strategy is whack.
Doesn't make any sense. There's no way that 170 people moving in a slow convoy, like. What is holding the aliens back? What are they doing? What are they so what else is going on that they don't that they can't deal with? And whenever they send forces in, it's just like eight crawlers and like three Ed 209s from Detroit
lined up all in a row, you know, crossing a single bridge so everyone can fire on them and get them at the same time. Where was the air support? Where was the air support at the same time?
I could do all the other stuff that's going on with the, you know, but that's the one thing that's irking me more than anything. Other than that, I can live with other shortcomings. I can tell a lot of characters have been killed off over the course of the show, even though I haven't seen those characters. But I found there to be like a severe lack of interesting characters right now, and I think they need a lot of new blood, like ASAP.
That's why they're going to Charleston, because.
Oh, and then that's the other thing. See, I thought the captain had history on his side with his strategy, and I thought he was going to be the prevailing one and was going to have the winning idea of hiding out, because I took it, oh, okay, they're doing a whole allegory on, like, the Confederate forces during the Revolution. Mm-hmm. And this was George Washington's strategy, was to get through the winter in Mount Vernon and, you know, live to fight another day, yada, yada, yada. And I thought, oh, this is exactly where they're going with that. No, not at all.
Hey, look, that's good. And it's also, again, like I said, episode 3, it's frightening. It's actually starting to line up with stuff. It was consistent with his character. I mean, that sounds like a solid military strategy, and he's all about classic warfare. So that makes sense that was his first decision. But, you know, he's right, you know, for both reasons. For one, strategically, look, you know, I'm losing people left and right. We've put up a good fight. We gotta do something different. And part B, we're running out of interesting characters on this show. the aliens already know we've got to survive till sweep, so why don't we head off? You keep asking what's holding back. That's what's holding back. The aliens know we gotta survive till sweep. So come on. Just push them across the bridge. I know we just broke part of the bridge. They'll figure it out. Just come on. We gotta survive.
That is funny.
But, I don't know. And yeah, Charleston's really far. And in this world they live in, I don't know how they can possibly get there without the aliens, you know, wrecking them in the meantime. And don't the aliens already know about what's going on in Charleston? Aren't the aliens already on top of that? Like, I don't know.
They destroyed it if it's... They got running hot water, like...
What? No way. They're probably hiding something like a giant hangar. So clearly, the aliens won't be able to find that. The advanced technology is biplanes. How are the aliens going to be able to stop that? Come on.
And I do wonder, too, about... Because they mentioned it in one of the first two episodes about how the aliens started off with their neutron bombing, but they haven't been done it since, and I wonder why that is.
Maybe out of them. They're out of neutron bombs.
Yeah, I know, but is that it? Or, no, is there... I don't know. I don't know. I need some more... Something to...
I think too many people are writing on this show. And
I need a life preserver just to help me get over some of these things that are bothering me.
This is their chance. Like I said, this is their chance. With this episode, I don't know what happened that suddenly stuff started kind of working.
They got a different writer in there or something.
I mean, yeah, I could feel it. I'm telling you. It was like, really, from one episode to the other, I was like, holy crap, what happened here?
What they could do is they could head to Colorado and eventually run into Jericho.
Oh, dear.
And pick those folks up. And then they could pick those folks up, and then we could have some new characters. Or if they want to, they could swing down to Atlanta and find the Walking Dead crew and realize there's a zombie invasion down in the south that they didn't realize about.
Crossover, man. I like that.
That's funny.
Totally works. So you had aliens? Oh, we got zombies, man.
I want to know what's happening on the Lost Island right now during all these invasions.
You got like crisis on Earth. Here's what we're doing here. They all come together.
Well, if just one character could have a flash forward, we could see where this is all heading.
Oh, no.
You are painting a beautiful picture. You are genius right now. Look,
Cat would be perfectly satisfied with an entire planet coming into Earth orbit, of course. And all fits together in an uber mashup that we've never seen.
That would be cool. It's all just one big cabin in the woods.
My goodness. So, you know, like, so, okay, we're bitching about Fallen Skies not being exactly to our liking. Don't want to see it canceled, though. That doesn't mean I want to see it canceled.
Well, they're testing me now. They better...
Oh, man.
They need to stay with what's happening with episode three, and they need to maintain this. Because, yeah, the stuff that Eric, you know, you're bringing up, yeah, I mean, there's these raging inconsistencies. So the only thing that can save this, it is completely plausible that they can write in something like there is an overarching alien plan here. You know, make it stick. Have it make sense why the aliens have not come in and decimated the pockets. Like, it's like 150 dudes wandering around. One neutron bomb would have taken out the woods. This would have been settled. So they need to come in with something really plausible. You can do this, guys, right? Come on. To explain why, you know, these little pockets of humanity are just perfectly fine surviving. You know, I don't care what. Just make it stick. They can do this. And have a plausible reason. Get us some interesting characters in Charleston. Let's see what's happening when you bring the team together. You can save this series, and you can make it interesting, but you gotta stick with what we got here at episode three, and you gotta build on this. Because if you could, you know, if the next thing that we see is, you know, some crazy ambush, and, oh, it turns out the lady in the plane is crazy, and there's no one actually there, you know, oh my God.
That was just there typing numbers in the computer.
Yeah, you know, that will ensue. People who've tried to hang with you guys. This is your chance, Fallen Skies. Come on. This you got. You can build.
Well, there's an article here on TV by the Numbers asking if Falling Skies is the LeBron James of summer cable shows.
Whoa, how is it the LeBron James?
But I thought that was hilarious. It's saying that it dropped in ratings from its first premiere.
Maybe the Carmelo Anthony of
I don't know. You can watch those guys, but I just thought it was funny. You know, always dumping on LeBron. But yeah, the ratings, they're going down from the first season. It's not drawing in the numbers needed.
What are the numbers? I don't know.
The numbers, it drew in 4.4 million viewers, 1.5 adults, 18 through 49
ratings. Is that season 2 or season 1?
It's 2-hour season premiere, down from last year's premiere that drew 5.9. So
yeah. But still, 4 something is still decent, especially for a cable show. It's beating Fringe's numbers.
Yeah, it shed it 25% of its...
No, it's true. Season. It is a big loss, but it's still... Like I said, better than Fringe, and Fringe is a network show. This isn't. And because this show is so low budget looking, just like Walking Dead,
yeah,
I think these shows, just they can withstand a lot more. By that I mean really bad viewing figures.
Right. Like I said, just build on what you've been doing here. This episode, if you can build, we'll be all right. You know, we'll try to hang with you, but... you know,
the
clearly.
Aliens are bothering me because A, they don't look cool. B, they're rubber suit looking at times.
It's not
as easy as doing like zombies, right? So right. I don't.
Yeah, I don't buy it when they do close ups of the monsters. I really don't.
Yeah,
but so
that's a concern. Maybe they should just like make.
Why do aliens gotta be so dumb? I don't really get that. Like, why can't the aliens ambush the humans? Why can't the aliens set traps? And, like, why do they have to just walk into them? Like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, one episode I saw from season one, like, why are the aliens, like, bartering with old crones in their apartments? Who came up with that program? I mean, within the alien, like, intelligence. You know, I have a proposal. You know, we'll use old widows, old ladies as lookouts, and we'll send them food. But it seems like there's a whole lot of thought put into a small plan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why are we worried about the small potatoes?
Why would they capture a bunch of humans and then release them, shoot all of them except for Noah Wiley?
Well, that's just to show how badass the aliens are. You see, that's what was going on there.
Yeah, but again, wasn't that Red Eye's whole plan, though?
To do what?
To let him get away on purpose.
For what purpose?
Because he had the bug in his eye and everything else.
He got the bug eye, and then the bug went back into the alien's eye.
Yes, that's how you read the data. Remember the USB crack? That's all I'm saying. Yeah, he just flew in to read.
I'm just saying, are you telling me you don't think he was let... live on.
No. I got it, but it's stupid.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I agree with it. It's such a lame plan.
We know.
It's such a lame plan.
That's why they need some overarching story. There's got to be some explanation for all of this dumbness, and they need to make it stick so we can live with it. There's a way. You can't tie it together. For just, you know, yeah.
I want Taylor Kitsch to show up and just kick all the aliens' asses.
I don't know. Taylor Kitsch might be, like, movie poison now. Two of his movies have, you know.
Hey, well, it's not a sci-fi movie, but I think his next one is looking really good.
Which one? The one with him in the...
The Oliver Stone movie. Was it called Savage? Is that what it's called?
Yeah, I'm not seeing it. That doesn't look good to me.
Yeah, it looks good to me. But again, this is a non-genre thing we're talking about.
Yeah, so if it doesn't have aliens in it.
Oh, yeah. Those trailers for that movie are really working for me.
They don't work for me.
So I think this may be Taylor Kitsch's first movie that is well-received.
But then maybe. If it is well-received, he won't do sci-fi anymore. He'll just do crap like that.
Who knows?
But, I need him to be John Carter again. Of Mars. You know? Okay.
Yeah, well, I was about to chime in. Have you seen the numbers on DVD sales for John Carter?
No, tell me about it.
They're good. I don't remember the exact numbers.
Okay. Yeah, I heard. But
yeah, they're good. They're good. It's like, wow, maybe it'll have a chance for a sequel. For, you know, with the numbers that are coming in.
The marketing on that, which just...
No, I think Disney got cold feet on making a sequel. And yeah, I blame Disney too, by the way, their marketing.
It's terrible. Like, if you can make a movie look like the Prince of Persia, and that sucked.
And the episode 2.
Yeah.
At the same
that
time.
Turned people off. Like, because I tried, because my mom, she always listens to my recommendations for movie, and I say, yeah, you got to take my niece and nephews to see John Carter. What? And they didn't get it. But if the name was John Carter of Mars, she's like, oh yeah, kids want to see some Mars stuff. That sounds interesting. But if you just have like a regular American name and you don't really. Nobody knew what it was.
Bob Franklin.
Yeah, like, I want to see... Mom, take the kids to
see Bob
Franklin.
Now, if it had been Abraham Lincoln of Mars.
There you go.
Oh, that's awesome. I would totally see that.
He
could be the face on Mars, because it kind of has that... Sorry.
That little watch, you know, that was silver plated is actually the amulet that takes him to Mars. Perfect. That worked.
Love it when a plan comes together. Anyway, yeah. So, yeah, no, who wants to watch Bob Franklin? Nobody knows what it is.
Bob Franklin.
But, yeah, so any other updates? Because the John Carter DVD is doing well. I'm so glad.
Poor
babies. Poor babies. But, whatever.
All I know is my Spider-Man and Batman tickets are both burning holes in my pocket right now.
I'm ready for Magic Mike.
Magic Mike?
Yes. Men stripping.
I don't know what that is.
Yeah, it's like Coyote Ugly for Chicks is what it is. It's got all that happening. I was still on the page with T. Moore, the guy that made Daywatch, Nightwatch. Mm-hmm. As well as Abraham Lincoln. He also made 9, which is nice. However, he also produced Apollo 18.
What? That was him?
Hey, producer credits, not the same
thing. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, well.
I mean, come on. Tim Burton produced Abraham Lincoln, but no one's mentioning him.
Well, yeah.
Oh, I forgot to.
You kind of.
I was happy.
Yeah, but it's
I was
not
like,
necessary.
Yeah, but he was
produced
involved
a lot.
With Apollo 18.
Yeah.
That just means he threw some money in.
I know that's what it means, but he, man.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was like, oh, come on, because I was looking through the list and everything. I was like, okay, yeah, Nightwatch, okay, yeah, 9, okay.
No, I was concerned about Wanted, because that wasn't good.
Yeah, Wanted. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't my favorite.
I don't like Wanted that. Actually, I just don't like Angelina Jolie in the movie.
I love her.
But I like the rest of the movie. And again, for me, Wanted works if you suspend that same part of your brain that you suspend
for
Abraham
Lincoln.
No, but
it just lacked a energy or something. I don't know. It just wasn't there.
Feel lack of energy.
Yeah, I felt the lack of energy because it didn't feel believable.
Feel believable. I could take that, but I thought there was a lot of energy.
Yeah. Whatever. Okay, guys. If that's it, that can be our show for today.
I think we're good.
Okay.
Harriet Tubman, you can call.
Oh,
you can call,
dear.
Girl. Give me a call.
Oh, did you just... We'd love your feedback. You can call us. We have voicemail in case you forgot. 773-336-2686. Just, you know, keep your marriage problems off of the voicemail. We don't want that.
Cat misses you. If you want to drop us a line, just let her know how you're feeling. Ask about your wayward boyfriend.
Do not steal your man. Go ahead. Go to our website. Leave us a comment at scifipartyline.com. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. We're on Facebook and Google+. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
That was awesome.
Yay. We had some good material this time. Those two were fun.
This time? We always have good material.
No, sometimes the stuff we talk about is either so bad we can't really comment on, or it's just like borderline, what? So it's just kind of like...
We haven't talked about Lockout.
I don't know why you keep trying to throw Lockout in here. Ain't nobody want to see Lockout.
You're going to see it this year, nobody Carl Leonard.
Lockout. Shoot. Yikes.
Yeah, so I'm a get ready for bed. I gotta work in the morning.
Can I mention the Judge Dredd trailer?
Oh, damn it, shawarma time! So I was excited until I heard that what's his face was at the helm.
Ooh,
Bones from Star Trek.
What?
Oh, you mean in the movie? I thought you meant
he's Dredd.
Carl Urban?
Yes, he's Dredd.
Wait, he's cool. What? I saw him in something recently. I was like, oh, what did I? Okay, sorry.
You know, Star Trek.
No, it was something else. Something else.
Pathfinder.
I can't. Okay, y'all discuss, and I'll look it up. So you go ahead. I'll think about
something. I don't like that guy.
I like him.
He can't act to me.
What? I think he's cool as Bones.
He was in Priest, and he can't act.
Well, I
thought no one was acting in Priest.
That's what I was going to say. I think that was.
I didn't think he was a good Bones. I did not like him in Pitch Black or Chronicles of Riddick.
He was a token bad guy in that, but he's
Red. Did you guys see Red?
Yeah,
it was a good movie.
He was in that.
What?
Yes, he was.
What?
He was the clean agent that Bruce Willis busted in on. Remember, he was his nemesis, the clean guy who was in the headquarters that, we got to take these guys out. And he busted it, and they had the fight in the office? That was Carl Urban.
Yeah, I didn't... Meh.
Yeah, okay, so I just saw Red, so I was like,
Red was good. I only, remember...
It wasn't spectacular, but it was.
I love that movie. I thought, what's her face? And it was good. Morgan Freeman was awesome.
I thought they were all good.
What's the lady's name?
Helen Mirren?
Yeah. I love her. I thought she was awesome.
Okay, well.
Carl Urban was forgettable, as usual.
Hating on Urban.
I want to love him. I do.
I think he's cool.
But I just can't. I don't buy him.
I got no problems with Urban.
Urban, it's just he acts with his eyebrows or his nose or something, and it pisses me off. God, and I hope he, never listens to this, because, that'd be horrible,
What did you do the trailer, besides Urban?
I saw the trailer, but because it was Carl Urban, I just couldn't really decide. Why don't y'all talk about Dredd? Because I have nothing but bad things to say, because I am hung up on Carl Urban.
See, the crazy thing is what is this? Is this 1989 again? We got Dredd coming back. We got Total Recall coming back.
Yes!
This is like the exact same summer. It's just back again.
So, I don't mind that at all because Total Recall is my favorite film.
Geez, what next? Demolition Man? We're going to get that?
Yes! Oh, that's one of my other favorites.
The only thing I really liked about Demolition Man was Sandra Bullock's tight pants. That was the what made it for me.
You didn't like their virtual love making? That was cool.
Jeez.
She just handed him a towel and headband or something. Let's have sex. And
I thought the commercial future of Back to the Future 2 was so much better than the one they pulled off in Demolition Man.
Yeah. I like that. Have a joy day. Mm-hmm. In the three seashells. But okay, so back to Dredd. So what did you think about it? I mean, are you pumped up, Eric? Or
I don't know. I don't know that much about Dredd, first of all.
Did you see the movie? It was awesome.
I haven't seen the original.
It's on Netflix for free.
I'm not sure what's going on in the new one. I don't know if this is based on existing material or if it's not. Yeah. I don't know. What was it? Is it New Jack City?
What is that talking about?
Are you telling me the way
they present the plot for this particular new movie coming up?
Oh, I gotcha. I see what you mean. Well,
is it New Jack City?
Well, I still don't understand what you're asking.
There's that tenement building where all this nefarious stuff is going on, and then like the cops try to somehow infiltrate.
That's not bad. Yeah, I get it.
That's what it was.
Yeah,
except done in sci-fi. Where's what's his name? Chris Rock's character, Pookie or whatever his name was.
What is happening on this podcast?
I get it. I actually get what he's saying. He's right. That's not bad.
So Judge Dredd.
The way it looks, yes, they're all held
the
up.
The way they're explaining the plot of the movie, it looks like New Jack City in dystopian future. Instead of Ice T, we got Carl Urban.
Really pissing me off. Oh my god. I don't know how I feel about this film. This Carl Urban, man.
No, I'm going to watch it, but I'd rather just
watch the original again cuz Carl Urban.
So wait. Okay, so you just like the original Judge Dredd cuz you could watch Stallone walk around. Versace.
The costume was designed by Versace. It was Eric, all golden.
Did you see the original Judge Dredd?
No, I don't.
It's awesome. It's awesome.
It's not awesome. All right, I'll tell you right now.
I just watched it for the first time like a month ago, and I thought it was
not
awesome.
The only reason that she likes this movie is because of Sylvester Stallone walking around looking all beefy in it. Okay, so that's him. And if she likes Stallone,
it reminded me of Demolition Man and Total Recall, and I love the way those films look. It looked just like those, except it was made in the 90s, and I really enjoyed the way it looked. I loved it.
The problem.
You call just because the guy is, you know, hot, and there's a hot guy. Because Carl Urban's hot. He's hot. I just don't like him.
Oh, that's not no. So there was this era of like campy sci-fi in late 80s, early 90s, where they were something was just not quite right about it. They were a little cartoony, where it was like at that time, whenever they tried to portray a superhero, they did not have the CG technology yet. So every time they tried to portray the heroes that we've seen in cartoons or the comic books, it's like the costumes, the uniforms were just a little too big. It was like it was.
It was awesome. It was not too big for him because he was big.
So what happened, those puny superheroes. The guns would look all cardboardy and large, and it was just like, what? And that Judge Dredd, everything about Judge Dredd was just a little off.
It was good, perfect, maybe a little strong, but it was good for
Demolition Man and Total Recall at the time, because they were a little bit before, you could excuse it And I really think, come on, Total Recall, the effects in Total Recall were way better than what they pulled off years later with Judge Dredd, all right? It was just way better. So Judge Dredd always felt like a knockoff of something that was originally corny.
I think they were just trying to capture the style, and they were doing it in the style of that era.
And that's what I'm saying. Well, they didn't have the technology to pull it off yet.
Yeah, they did. It was fun. It was okay. I tell you, Carl, you're going on memories of past, and I just saw it a month ago. And
I have memories of Total Recall.
Yeah, but they're incorrect, and you need to rewatch it again because you're wrong.
I have memories of Total Recall,
Eric,
and I found
it.
That
good.
Quite
Don't
enjoyable.
Listen to him.
I also have memories of Demolition Man, and I know what was good about Demolition Man and what was corny about Demolition Man. And everything that was corny about Demolition Man was in Judge Dredd, but blown out. It was just like, really? Oh, that's all we're going to do here? Okay, all right, no. So if you take out the lust for Sylvester Stallone,
dude, who has lust for Sylvester Stallone? I think he's okay. You know what I'm saying? Yes, he looks hot or whatever, but so, that wasn't the sole reason why I liked the film. That's just not it.
To implement what was campiness and lame of Judge Dredd in something that is modern.
If you take out the environment,
the environment's wrong. It's bad.
You're just hating. That's all you're doing. That's
I don't
what
know.
You're
See,
now.
I was, obviously, I haven't seen this movie,
guy.
but I know exactly what Carl's describing, though.
So you have fell under the spell.
No, I'm just saying I know exactly what he's talking about. I know what he means by the big shoulders and the big guns.
When you see the motorcycle, the motorcycle from Judge Dredd. Oh my God, it is horrible.
But I know what Carl's talking about, and I know what he means when he says like Demolition Man, the stuff that was good, and then the stuff that was bad. Because I remember them both, the good and the bad, as well. So I know what he means, and I don't see anything
wrong with those stylistic choices.
But you know, I mean, I'd have to make up my own mind if I actually see the film. But I'm just saying, I completely get what Carl's talking about, and I know what the excess of the '90s brought us in this respect.
Nipples on Batman. This is what I'm talking about.
See, I disagreed with that.
What do you mean you disagree with that? You thought it was all right that Batman had nipples?
No, I disagreed with the nipples.
Oh, well, that's what I'm talking about. It's the same kind of stuff. It's the same where they didn't quite have the CG stuff, the tech, the costume stuff.
Oh, you want them to do CG nipples?
No, what I'm saying is the caricature of the superhero that they were trying to portray with Judge Dredd, when you saw it big and exaggerated
in the comic book, it did happen in the 90s.
They tried to do that. But they were not always successful.
It was like Bison and Street Fighter, the film.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah.
I just think the style of it was fine. I don't think it was that clunky and that big. Would it work today? I don't think people would buy it.
However, look at the motorcycle and then say it wasn't clunky. I will rest my case on the motorcycle.
But what I do remember is I like the style of the movie, and I saw the style that they're doing in the new movie, and I was underwhelmed.
Well, yeah, because it's not giant and cardboardy and paper mache. I'm teasing you. Look, if you like
it. I know what Carl's talking about, though, and the new one looks intriguing to me, at least from the trailer, and I do like it to be a little bit toned down or kept in check.
I was a drag queen in a former life. Fine. I like it big and gaudy.
Because the 90s with the sci-fi stuff that Carl's talking about, it was so theatrical.
That's what
I love. Over the top. But theatrical in that it's fine if you're on the third balcony. It needs to look that big from that far away. But when it's a motion picture and you have close-ups.
But I'm just saying, if it's a motion picture, let your imagination run wild. Don't try to, enslave it with toning it down.
I don't know.
I want it to be bigger than life.
That's a thin line for me.
I don't understand that because you're watching
something fantastic. No, because some movies pull that off and some movies...
I think Carl is just jealous.
Here's an example of a movie that pulled that off, okay? And it is consistent with the era and with my point. Batman.
Yeah.
All right? Batman. I'm talking about the very first one with Nicholson and crew.
Man.
You know, that car was ridiculous. You know, the costumes, over the top, everything was just... But because of the era of the time, because of the mood that they set, everything kind of worked in that movie. And if you go back and watch, this is what I'm trying to say about the CG stuff. You go back and watch Batman, and you can appreciate, you know, the Tim Burton feel and artistry of it. Yes. But, you know, Michael Keaton swinging a giant rubber suit around, his motions are all slow. The action is just, you know, kind of stilted. It's not, you know, because they didn't have what we do now with the special effects. You can have the suit that Christian Bale has, which is, you know, almost as heavy, almost as rubbery, but, you know, there's this bristling detail that's clean and smooth about what we got now. But then you can slide in a little CG that makes the action sequences faster and makes them more interesting. And that you couldn't do that back then. So if you start in 88 with Batman, was that 88? Okay, if you start 89,
it was 89.
Yes, okay. You start in 89 with Batman, and you begin at that time doing that. Then you can see sort of like the what do you want to call it, like in the pre-Cambrian era when all the life got really huge, you know. It started, it was like, okay, yeah, dinosaurs are all right, and then they just got nuts because they were just all bloated, and it took the comets and the, you know, the meteorite wiping the surface clean before we got back to normal sized things. Batman began.
I completely agree. And, I agree wholeheartedly with what he's saying.
Screw you.
So all because I'm saying,
I agree immensely.
So when you watch Judge Dredd,
that's what's wrong with the world today.
When you watch Judge Dredd, it was on the tail end of that. It was the last giant Slurpee cup version of these movies. Big culprit. It was right on the tail end where everything we had bought it all along. It's like, oh well, Batman was theatrical. Oh wow, you know, this movie was big. We just got to be bigger because it's Stallone, and there was nothing inside. There was nothing inside the Slurpee cup. So
no, I agree because. Batman Forever, the third one with Val Kilmer, I thought I really liked it at the time when it was new and when I saw it. And at the time, I thought, oh, this is the best Batman movie yet. I thought it was really cool, and I liked it for a good 5 years after it came out. But whenever they released the Batman anthology in this last decade, recent decade, and I went back to watch Batman Forever for the first time in like 8 or 10 years... It's really, it's very difficult to watch with modern eyes now. It's really bad. It's everything that Carl just said, like gaudy and just over the top and everything.
What is wrong with something theatrical? Like, what is wrong with it?
No. It's weird when you have something that looks like it's been literally, it looks like it's been literally produced for the stage.
For stage, yes.
And then we just go, let's just take it as is and go into it, making a motion picture, and that's just something's off. Something's really, because the makeup's extra. Everything's extra. All the like the shiny lights and the glitter.
But
and
I
the
love
lighting.
That though. So
it's
for me,
cool in
so
context,
for me, so that's why I like Judge Dredd. If it's extra and that's all, that's what I want to see. I don't want it CGI'd on. I don't want something scaled down. I don't want anything toned down. I want it to be big.
Well,
people like the Rocky Horror Picture Show too, but I've
never seen that, so whatever.
Well, that's the 70s version of gaudy, but still, I mean, just people who like that, but
yeah, just, yeah. I mean, no, definitely not for everyone. Saying, be prepared. That's I still think you ought to watch Judge Dredd. You know, we're talking like crazy and everything. Eric, still watch it. Because you got to get a, you know, some kind of context for what's coming in the next movie. But just be prepared. Know that's what you're getting into.
Yeah, I could totally see that from a mile away. I know exactly what you're talking about. And speaking of which, by the way, I know I just want to insert Spider-Man to everything. But I just saw some cool stuff. What was I watching? I was watching Falling Skies, I think, from the DVR. And I don't know why during the commercial breaks – they're showing these like mini like making of Amazing Spider-Man things.
Yes.
I don't know why, but one thing I liked that I saw in those little mini docs, which I had not seen before for the new movie, because I just recently, because they re-released them on Blu-ray recently, got Spider-Man 1 and 2, the Raimi ones,
mm-hmm.
and I've been watching them on Blu-ray. They look great and all on Blu-ray, but they do. The Blu-ray definitely reveals the circa 2001, 2003, whatever, CGI. And they use a lot of it, for Spidey in particular. I mean, Spider-Man himself.
Yep.
At least in the early Spider-Man movies, it's almost never actually Tobey Maguire in the suit when Spidey's doing something crazy, like swinging around,
landing on the buildings. Yes,
yeah, yeah. But in the little features they were showing for Amazing Spider-Man, they were showing it was actually, whether it's a stuntman or what's his name, but it's a real man in the suit who's actually like swinging on a real wire, a.k.a. web. That's cool. I want to see that because that's one of the major things that was bothering me about the original series. And so I want to see, because some early critics are saying, oh, this is more of the same, but more of the same with real practical effects. Of course, there's CGI blended together, of course. But I want to see that. That excites me. There was some craziness going on in the early Batman films. And I want to, for me, I'd like to see it toned down a little bit. And I know that's not everyone's cup of tea, but that's another reason why I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, I'm going to give it a shot. I am on the fence. The effects look really good. I'm still a little hurt because I like seeing stuff that's new, and there is a universe of freaking superheroes that we ought to be seeing now without them in less than a decade bringing back the superhero, though. Now, all kinds of marketing reasons
it's true.
I am sick of dipping into the star of the Spider-Man and the Batman well.
I'm going to give it a shot. I'll give it a shot. But I really, there are a lot of other superheroes out there that I think are worthy of a movie now.
The latest superhero, Detroit Thor. Which is hell, 24 to Charles on 29 Kansas because. Sorry, but I'm bummed. Eric, go ahead. Sorry.
No. I agree. There's plenty of other superheroes, but Spider-Man's sort of like Marvel's Superman, and so he needs to be out there, even though.
Yeah, I understand he's flagship, but.
Yeah. So you know, was I clamoring for the return of Spider-Man? No, but now that it's here, am I ready to accept it? Yes. Absolutely.
Right. Good, sir.
Bring it on. Yeah. And just as a side note, too, I saw they showed the Total Recall trailer, which I'd already seen 1,000 times online, but it's the first time I saw it on the big screen preceding Abraham Lincoln. And just the one part where that we've all seen where Colin Farrell's looking over out his balcony, that looked really cool.
That looks
on the
super
big,
cool.
On the big screen, especially.
Yeah.
I could see all the little nuances in the digital math there, and it looked really good. And another trailer that I hadn't seen in a long time because it's preceding the movie by so far, but I saw the new Hobbit trailer for the first time on the big screen. That was really cool, I thought, on the big screen. It took it to another level. I know we still got a ways to get to Middle Earth again, but
I'm so sick of Middle Earth right now, still.
What?
I am. I'm sick of dipping into
Middle Earth. I don't know that I've ever been sick of Middle Earth.
I'm just burnt out. I'm still burnt out. I was like, maybe by the time Hobbit comes out. Carl, what are you doing?
Oh, you can't hear that.
Yeah, I do hear you.
You got burned out with the original series?
Yeah, I'm tired of it because I've seen them like 11 million times.
I have too, and I don't
But you know what, though? When I do watch them, I sit down and watch them every time because there's always something to draw me back in. So I groan, but I'll watch it, but I will bitch and moan about it. So just be prepared for it and ignore it. But I got to tell you, Carl, you're wrong about Judge Dredd, the original one. I'm sorry. I liked it, and it just not just because of Stallone.
All right. Well, give it a shot.
Like I said, I mean, Total Recall, Demolition, those are my movies. I love those. I'm in love with those films. So
I like Demolition Man. It's all right. It's all right.
Yeah, I like Demolition Man. And Total Recall, of course.
Get your eyes to Mars.
One of my major loves of.
See, thank you. But and
well,
I just,
yeah, but it does not in any way discount what Carl's talking about with all these other movies.
I'm just saying, like, why can't we just go with and appreciate the style of that time for what it was and
no,
just
but,
walk
but,
away?
But,
walk
but Total
away.
Recall was still on the before it got crazy side of the spectrum.
Yeah.
It was still where things were somewhat grounded. It was before, everything went nuts. Because even RoboCop, the first one, is also another one of those grounded movies.
Yes,
relatively speaking, Because when you get to 2 and 3, it's just let it all go.
Yeah.
You know, I haven't even seen those, I don't think.
Oh, man, they're just...
I kind of like 2 because I like robot battles. So, I mean, you know, I always think there should be more robot-on-robot battles in the film. So I enjoyed that
in 2. Robo-minister.
I really enjoyed that.
And then the third one, though... It turns into which Apes movie is it? Is it Conquest or?
Oh dear God!
It's like the last Apes movie, but it's like a similar story to what happens in the third RoboCop.
What?
You gotta.
You
remember the story even vaguely, Carl, for the third RoboCop?
Okay. Give me some hint. It'll come
See, I've only seen like once or twice just broadcast on television with commercials. But and I remember I couldn't believe it was actually a RoboCop film, like
what
canon.
Was it now?
It's, if I remember correctly, there's this like really, really seedy part of like Detroit, a certain neighborhood, like, but really, like, the really bad. And I think, and we, you know, name what other movie this reminds you of, but I think like, the city local politicians, they want to take, you know, that neighborhood and, you know, redevelop it or whatever, but they can't, but yet. So what they do is they're like funding the thugs to like cause mayhem in that neighborhood. You know what I mean? And, you know, and then the few noble citizens have to band together to like take back their neighborhood and not be run out, so that run out of their houses, so the city can just come in and demolish and rebuild. So RoboCop like has to like get in and like help like the, you know, the like the locals. But if you watch it, it reeks of a made straight to video type of film. Like you can't believe this is, wow. I don't even know if it was theatrical or if it just went straight. I don't know, but it just.
The guy who was RoboCop didn't even, it wasn't even him as the actor. They
Peter
found
Weller.
Some other guy. Yeah, Peter Weller wasn't in it. The headliner was the woman, you know, his sidekick, his partner.
Yeah.
She was the headliner in this film. So
yeah, it's really rough, and it's like, what happened? But that's getting rebooted too, isn't it? So,
yeah, it is.
Oh, geez. See, that summer.
So what is being left out from the 90s that is not being rebooted?
Demolition Man.
Yeah, it's coming, I'm sure. Just
shoot,
give it time.
Just give it another 10 years and we'll have the Fifth Element redux.
Wow.
But that just seems so weird. Something that kind of smells modern in our memory, but to have it redone, crazy.
Like Spider-Man.
That's just too soon for me, man. It's too soon. Okay, guys, I gotta go to sleep.
Get some sleep, Kat.
All right, guys. That was long shawarma.
Yeah,
wait.
It was.
Yeah. Sound weird. Okay, anyway.
we had to let a couple of those go in this episode.
It was easy on the sauce, though.
All right, guys.
Very savory.
Oh, dear God. Thank you so much.
Bye, Kat.
All right, bye-bye.
See you later.
End of line.